This is the station Wichita turns to first for live team coverage of breaking news. KNSS, Wichita's number one news, talk, and weather station. Depend on it.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Residents in West Wichita were allowed back in their homes following a gas leak last evening. It happened just before 6 p.m. at 151st Street West and Maple. Wichita Fire Battalion Chief Michael Russell says a construction worker was digging and hit a gas line.
They went in on one side of 151st Street and were boring underneath the street and coming up on the other side. And somewhere in the process, the line got struck.
Fire crews gave the all clear, even though some residential residual odor remained in the neighborhood. Kansas Senate President Susan Weigel says she's considering running for the U.S. Senate in 2020 and plans to form an exploratory committee.
Weigel told the Wichita Eagle Wednesday that she's taking a serious look at the race. Kansas Senator Pat Roberts announced last Friday he will not seek re-election. Weigel is the latest prominent Republican to express an interest. State Treasurer Jake LaTurner announced his candidacy Tuesday. Departing Governor Jeff Collier, Attorney General Derek Schmidt, and Representative Roger Marshall are also considering the race. Weigel is from Wichita and has served in the legislature since 1991. She will finish her second four-year term as Kansas Senate President in 2020 and has said she won't seek another. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
The job picture is improving for Wichita and Kansas. Wichita State University's Center for Economic Development and Business Research has released an updated Kansas employment forecast. The center's director, Jeremy Hill, tells KNSS News.
We expect employment to continue to grow. We have like 0.9%, almost 1% for Wichita, and a little over 1% for Kansas. You know, a lot of the doom and gloom that's going on nationally and globally, but we're still pretty strong about our employment growth.
Hill says manufacturing is driving growth in Wichita, with recent announcements that Spirit AeroSystems is adding hundreds of jobs. In California, a massive teacher strike has been pushed back to Monday, giving parents a few more days to figure out what to do with their kids.
The teachers union is furious, holding angry press conferences over the school district's stance when it concerns funding, not just their salaries, but more staff and more teachers to help reduce class sizes. UTLA LAUSD salary point person Ingrid Gunnell says it does come down to money.
Teachers are still struggling since the recession. I voted to give up part of our salary during the recession to keep class sizes as low as possible and to keep services for our students. We still have not made up that money.
School Superintendent Austin Buettner says reserve money is being used for unions' demands, but paying for everything they want would require $3 billion more dollars that they simply don't have. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has made an unannounced stop in Iraq in an attempt to calm nerves of regional allies in the wake of President Donald Trump's decision to withdraw troops from Syria. Secretary Pompeo assures Iraqi Kurdish leaders that the U.S. is committed to protecting Syrian Kurds.
These have been folks that have fought with us, and it's important that we do everything we can to ensure that those folks that fought with us are protected. And Erdogan has made commitments. He understands that, I think he uses the language he talks about, he has no beef with the Kurds. We want to make sure that that's the case, and I'm confident that as Ambassador Jeffries and others travel through the region in the days ahead, we'll make real progress on that.
U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton recently said the U.S. would only leave Syria if Turkey pledged not to attack Kurdish allies in the region. KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. Good morning, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. 6:10 now, 10 minutes after 6 o'clock here on a Thursday morning.
And as we take our first look at traffic here on this Thursday morning commute, traffic running smoothly as we get things going this morning. If we get any traffic tie-ups or accidents, we will certainly pass them along to you. KNSS News and Traffic with Steve and Ted.
Okay, let's take a look at the forecast now with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. Another quiet day for us across south central Kansas, although a few clouds will mix in with sunshine or high near 50. As the storm system arrives from the west, we cloud up and a few scattered showers possible toward tomorrow morning, our low 37, occasional rain tomorrow, Friday's high near 40. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
And right now, partly cloudy. We've got 31 degrees, got a southeast wind at 8 miles per hour. And, Ted, it looks like the forecast for tomorrow is about, from what I can tell, 90% chance for rain and or snow tomorrow.
Yeah, big storm system covering this part of the country. Oklahoma is getting most of it.
The overnight low is only supposed to be 37.
Yeah,
so
we're on the upper half of that.
It could be tomorrow morning that it won't be freezing when you drive to work, but can't be sure. We'll be here to keep you posted on that.
Yep.
As the conditions, if they deteriorate that much. Again, right now we're below freezing at 31 degrees. Today is January 10th, 2019. Sunny day in central Kansas Wednesday. High temperature yesterday, 48 degrees. Normal high for the date is 42. On this date in 2002, Marines began flying hundreds of Al-Qaeda prisoners in Afghanistan to a U.S. base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, otherwise known as Gitmo. Now, in the aftermath of 9/11, we knew where they were training them, and we had surveillance. We knew where we could go and get them over there in Afghanistan. And that's what we did. We rounded up a bunch of them, and I think it was a pretty big net. I think they found a lot of guys who were just, you know, chauffeurs for people and things like that who had nothing to do with terrorism. But they brought them over here and then tried to process them. I don't know how many are still left down there in Gitmo, but I know there's at least a few.
Yeah, there's still some folks
there's
left
some
down
folks
there.
There's some folks down there, and some of them probably been forgotten.
We've been through what now? Two presidential administrations?
Yeah.
Since,
and what do you do with them? I mean,
of course, Obama vowed he was going to get rid of it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's still there.
Well, you get to, there are people who say, well, these are prisoners and they are, you know, potential violators of the law, but how do our due processes, do they apply to them and things? So they had a lot to figure out because, you know, the 9/11 attack was unprecedented in our history is something like that. And, you know, go over the seas and round up all the combatants or whatever. All right, it's 6:12, Stephen. There's a potential problem coming up here. It looks to me like, and that's rather than surrender the land to the federal government, some property owners on the Texas border are digging in to fight Donald Trump's border wall. These are property owners now.
Well, you probably would, too, if that was your property.
They're rejecting buyout offers, preparing to battle the administration in court. That could be tough. Trump is scheduled to travel to the border today to make the case for his $5.7 billion wall. Federal government has started surveying land along the border in Texas and announced plans to start construction next month. Those of the way include property owners who have lived in the valley for generations, mm-hmm. environmental groups, and a 19th century chapel. This is near Hidalgo, Texas, that this is going on. I presume that the law of eminent domain will apply. If the government wants your property, they're going to pay for it. You're going to get out of it
at some point.
But this could be a little bit of a sticking point there. We've got our bizarre story of the day, Ted. By now, just about every Christmas tree has yielded the presents stored under them, but one woman in Northern Virginia says an ornament on her live Christmas tree has produced some interesting presents. She says more than 100 praying mantises popped out of a brown egg case that was under one of the branches of Molly Cruz's tree. Apparently, this egg thing came with the tree, and she didn't know it. After they emerged, they made themselves at home at her home, crawling on the walls and ceilings. Now, for many people, that would be a time to call an exterminator.
Well, yeah, a little creepy.
But Cruz is a veterinarian.
Okay.
So she captured the praying mantises and is feeding them fruit flies.
Wow.
Eventually, she hopes to find the praying mantises a new home, perhaps with organic gardeners who treasure the insects because they eat other bugs.
Oh, there you
go. I did not know that.
Yep.
How about that? As for next Christmas, Cruz says she's going with an artificial tree.
Wow.
And can't blame her for that.
Too much trouble there.
Yeah, so I don't know much about praying mantises. They're kind of creepy looking, but I know they don't hurt anybody. They can't bite or anything.
Nope.
Get those funny looking arms. It's
always nice to see them during the summer months. Don't usually see them this time of year.
Yeah, I didn't know they eat other bugs. If I'd have known that, maybe we could have got a few for our tomato plants one year and taken care of the other bugs. And we've got a bizarre story out of Tennessee this morning where a woman is accused of placing her 8-month-old baby into a freezer. She's now been charged with child abuse. 19-year-old Brittany C. Smith placed the infant in a freezer and closed the lid last week in Johnson City. The child was taken to a hospital, but no condition has been released. An affidavit says a witness saw Smith holding a small child next to the unused freezer in her backyard, so it wasn't turned on or anything. Resident went outside to speak with Smith and found her in the crawl space under her home. Smith has also been charged with offenses that include neglect. Somebody behaving that bizarrely, or bizarrely, is that a word?
Yeah, sure.
Something is that is bizarre behavior, and something like that, obviously to me, the investigation will reveal that she is high on meth, or maybe she's got some serious mental problems. People just don't behave that way, normally speaking. That's out of Tennessee this morning. 6:15 now, Steve and Ted, and one of our top stories this morning, it concerns a gas line. You may have heard this a few minutes ago, a gas line construction worker out on the west side. This is, by the way, this location is just not too far from my daughter's house out on the west side, near 151st and Maple. And the construction worker ruptures a line. He was trying to dig, as you heard, if you heard a sound bite, trying to go underneath the street and plow under there, and they ran into a gas line. Boom. So they had to evacuate several homes. Now, that's an area where there are some very nice homes, and nobody's injured or anything like that, but you have the gas vapors in the neighborhood. I've seen I've seen a gas line rupture one or two times. I went to cover one where it was one of those big pipes, mm-hmm. and a flame was going, and that is impressive. This didn't seem to be a flame, but you know the gas fumes are, and you know you had a little breeze, so that would dissipate the fumes. But yeah, they had to evacuate a few homes. Everything is pretty much back to normal today. I just wonder why this construction worker apparently doesn't watch TV and see all those ads that we see night and day.
Cliff Clavin
out there, and the guy's
811.
Call 811. Hey, baby, you need to call 811. Yep, Cliff is always telling this guy, I don't need that. And the guy ruptured, you know. So is it 811? Hell, I've got it memorized. If I'm going to, you know, go out in the backyard and dig up a tomato plant, I'm going to call 811 just to see what happens. But anyway, it just caused a little fun out on the west side last night. It's coming up on 6:18 now. Steve and Ted, let's go ahead and do Lead Off Sports this morning with Ted Woodward. And Ted, we had some basketball going on. A couple of big state schools playing basketball last night, right?
Yeah, and it was a happy night for the state of Kansas for some of these results. College men's action last night up in Lawrence. Top 25 matchup, 5th-ranked Kansas, 25th-ranked TCU. TCU has never won a game in Lawrence. Would last night be the first win ever for the Horned Frogs at KU? Well, the answer to that is no. The Jayhawks win at home and send TCU back to Fort Worth with another loss. You heard the game last night. It was on KFH.
Up the court toward Devon. Back to Lawson. Spinning, turning, driving, and hitting. Dedrick Lawson putting on a clinic. And Jamie Dixon all the way out to midcourt calling for a timeout.
KU got things up and going behind junior Dedrick Lawson. A season-high 31 points. And that play right there was one of the big highlights of the night.
I knew that was back cutting the whole game, and I was anticipating one earlier, and I just knew I was gonna get one. He threw it right there to my Saint Devon, gave it up, ran the floor, and he slowed down. And I just asked for it back. He gave it back, and I just made the move.
Dedrick Lawson leads the nation in double doubles, and he got another one last night: 31 points, 14 rebounds.
Man,
and how about the KU defense swarming a team that usually takes pretty good care of the basketball, forcing 20 turnovers? Jayhawks win it 77-68. TCU's 9-game winning streak snapped. Jayhawks are now 13-2 on the season, and KU is 5-1 this year against ranked teams. Another win last night, impressive win for KU at home over a really good ranked team. Things got a little more dramatic in Manhattan, Kansas last night. K-State hosting West Virginia, and former K-State coach Bob Huggins. K-State just absolutely dead in the water. Down 21 points early in the second half. Just got nothing going on. But K-State exploded in the final 19 minutes of this game as the Wildcats scored 50 points in the second half and came back to win this game over West Virginia, 71-69. It's the largest comeback win ever in K-State men's basketball history.
What?
They were 21 points down, and they came back and won it. Senior Barry Brown had a season-high 29 points, including the go-ahead bucket with 30 seconds to go. He also tied a career high with 6 steals. K-State is now 8-1 on home court this season. West Virginia still winless in the conference, 0-3. Huge win, huge comeback win, badly needed last night for K-State to get that victory. JUCO men's basketball last night, Butler Community College on the road visiting Pratt. You heard that game right here on KNSS. Dennis Higgins had the call.
Hustle defense by Taylor keeps from getting the layup. Crossover dribble, Fugit drives the lane, kicks it out right corner to Allen. Allen drives right baseline and puts up a left-hand banker up and in. How about that shot by Emmanuel Allen? Allen's got 18. Grizzlies' lead is 83-51. 5:17 to go here at the Beaver Dome.
And Butler goes on to an easy win at Pratt, 92-67, handing Pratt its eighth loss in a row. Butler now 10-6 on the season. They've won two of their last three. First road win for the Grizzlies in nearly 2 months. Nice win for the Grizz on the road last night. And in college wrestling action last night, Newman University goes on the road and wins big at Central Missouri, 39-9 in the conference opener. The Newman wrestling team is ranked number 22 in the nation. At sports with Stephen Ted, KNSS.
You're curious to know what happened to the Wildcats at halftime, but start that second half and score 50 points and just go nuts. Well, they got, it must have been, one guy hits once and then
right.
And then
and that, all that's of a sudden probably all it took was just somebody, spark plugging the whole thing.
Yeah.
Barry Brown kind of said, get on my shoulders, I'll take you there.
And that's like contagious, like the flu or something.
That's happened two games in a row now for K-State.
Really?
They just look horrible in the first half. And then they have a massive second half. So,
all right,
you don't always want that to be your identity, but K-State made it work last night.
Put two halves together, and there you go.
That's exactly what you're talking about.
All right, Ted, 6:21 now.
Every coach in the country says that.
Yeah, I know.
Greg Marshall is saying that. Yeah, everybody's saying we could just put two halves together.
Play 40 minutes. Well, maybe they need to make the game shorter. Make them 30 minutes, All right, 6:22 now. Keep it here for Fox News commentator Todd Starnes and traffic and weather on the way. Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.